Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, beginning to read the 22nd verse and reading through to the 32nd verse. But I'm going to preface that by reading a few verses earlier in that chapter. And this is about Jacob and Esau. And we remember that Jacob was the elder son, born of Isaac and Rebekah. As such, Esau should have received his father's blessing, as well as the great majority of the inheritance. But Jacob, whose name means trickster, or conniver, or deceiver, made sure, in collusion with his mother, that he would steal his elder brother's benefits. When his elder brother understands that he's been duped, and in many ways he's duped himself, he is in a murderous rage, and at that point, Jacob flees from his household. He takes up work with an uncle, and we are at the point where Esau is coming out to meet Jacob, and Jacob is unsure whether Esau will try to end his life. In fact, Jacob is pretty much assured that that is the case. He can't understand how there might possibly be a reconciliation. So our sermon is on conflict, the conflict to come, and how do we deal with conflict on this 4th of July Sunday. Hear now God's word to us. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 of his soldiers are with him." In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. Jacob thought, "If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape." Then Jacob prayed, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am terrified he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.'" That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok River. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Let me pause and annotate this. We're not sure whether this man is a God, God's self, or whether it is an angelic messenger, or whether it is a man sent by God. We're really unsure, and the writer of Genesis does not help. It's almost like he wants us to be unsure about who Jacob is struggling with. Save to say, he's struggling with an emissary from God. When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will be no longer Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But the stranger replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want to discuss this morning conflict, as we see it in our Genesis account, and as we see it in our lives, not only personal, but also our lives as communities and as a nation on this 4th of July Sunday. In many ways, we are a nation forged from conflict. About 15 years ago, I went to a small, tiny monastery in Schuylerville, New York, and I spent a week there in silence. On a retreat, I would have a spiritual direction for 1 hour, and that's the only time I could talk during the day. But my spiritual director said, what I want you to do every day is go down to the national battlefield of Saratoga and just walk around there. And the spiritual director said that because she wanted me to get a sense of what it was like to be in a historical area so that I might be reminded of my own personal history. We remember it was at the Battle of Saratoga that things changed for the colonials up against the British. In September 19th at Freeman's Farm, they banished the British, and the British destruction was complete at Bemis Heights on October 7th. And there, shortly after, General Gates surrendered to the colonials. And from that moment on, it seemed like the war began to come into our favor, the war in which we won our independence. And I often wonder whether the character, the fortitude of our nation was founded and remains because of struggle. It was not easy, and the conflict allowed us, I think, to grow, because conflict does build character. And I think of our beautiful Hurley here, the village of Hurley, named in 1669 Newdorp, and in 1663, at the Second Esopus War, the 8 wooden buildings were torched, and women and children were captured by the Native Americans here, and they were imprisoned, I guess, for a year. But the Native Americans were very generous, and maybe they realized they did not want to have these Dutch women and children living with them. They had enough trouble with the Dutch men, so they brought them back unharmed. But I wonder whether that burning and the subsequent events which occurred during the Revolutionary War had an effect on the flintiness, on the steely character of Hurley itself. Hurley is a great place to live, and I think it is so because it was forged in conflict. And I, being a Civil War buff, visited Gettysburg, and during my second visit, I realized on the first day of battle that there is a marker for a regiment from Ulster County, and that not only did that regiment fight at Gettysburg, but also at Antietam, and fights further afield in 1864. And I wonder whether that says that Ulster County has character too, because many of our young men's lives were spilled on those battlefields. Conflict builds character. Iron sharpens iron. Just as one individual sharpens another, the writer of Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron. Just as one individual sharpens another. And I think we find that in personal relationships as well. You know, sometimes in relationships we appease at all costs, thinking that somehow that's a way to maintain a relationship. But in many ways, it does not forge the bonds of relationships, but rather distances ourselves from those we love and those we work with and those we play with. Conflict, indeed, may be God-inspired to help us grow in Christ's images. Indeed, we cannot look at anyone from Adam on up who did not experience conflict. And Jesus certainly was a man immersed in conflict throughout his short ministry. He could not get away from it. So we look at the Jacob account and we understand that although he is injured, nevertheless, he becomes stronger. He becomes the man God wants him to be because he wrestles all night with some incarnation of God's presence at Peniel. So Jacob becomes stronger in conflict, and I think that's God's purpose for our lives as well. We think conflict is bad, and we either want to run from it, or we want to overdo it and move into an overkill mode, I think because of evolution. Instead, what God calls us to do is to wrestle with conflict until we have overcome it, until we have surmounted it. That means we look conflict in the face, and we know that he who is in me is stronger than he who is outside me, he who is in the world. And by wrestling with God, God has a good plan for our lives to develop our character. Suffering produces endurance, Paul writes, and endurance produces character, he says, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. And we can say, I think, as a corollary as well, we become stronger when we wrestle with God. We become stronger indeed vis-a-vis the world when the things that God has planned for us are unclear. We may not know what God has planned for us. We may not think that God's timetable is the timetable we would like. We might even think that God has abandoned us because we're not hearing from him lately, that God has other things on God's mind because it seems as if we are forgotten and abandoned. And when we wrestle with God about God's timetable, when we wrestle with God about any number of issues, when we feel forlorn and forsaken, when we feel orphaned, let us understand and have hope that God's plan will indeed be carried out in God's time and not ours. And that part of the plan is that when we wrestle with God because of a variety of issues perhaps, that is leading us to be stronger in dealing with the world, in dealing with that person at work, at dealing with that person at home. Whatever we deal with, we are stronger because we've wrestled with God like Jacob. And now it becomes easier then to wrestle with other people. So have hope. Be assured that Jacob is changed. His name is changed to Israel, which means struggling successfully with God. We can do that as well. Let us do that and have hope that nothing can prevail against us when we have struggled with God. Nothing that the world throws at us can overwhelm us or overtake us, because we are more than conquerors, as Paul said, because we are loved so much. We are honed by God. Iron sharpens iron, just as one conflicted individual sharpens another. Amen.